wanting more cash to fight global warming.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. It is day five at the UN summit in Copenhagen, where the world is grappling with the issue of climate change. Marketplace reporters Stephen Beard and Sam Eaton are there. This morning, our coverage continues as the rift between rich and poor countries widens. Today, developing nations are accusing the U.S. of endangering the world by refusing to give them more cash to fight climate change. From Copenhagen, Marketplace's Stephen Beard joins us live. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
Stephen, how much money is the developing world asking for?
$200 billion a year between now and 2020. This figure comes from a big block of developing nations, which includes China, and they say they need this sum not only to help them keep their carbon emissions down, but also to repair some of the damage caused by climate change, dealing with the effects of flooding and drought, for example.
And they want the U.S. to pay most of this $200 billion?
Yes, because they say the U.S. has until quite recently been the biggest source of these heat-trapping gases, and because the U.S. is still the richest country in the world. The chief negotiator for this block of developing countries is pretty blunt. He says to the U.S., if you can spend billions on defense, why can't you spend $200 billion to save the planet?
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned China being part of this group. Where does China rank on the list of carbon polluters?
Well, that's a very good point and a good question. China is now the biggest single carbon polluter on the planet. But the distinction they draw is that on a per capita basis, per head of population, the U.S. is still the biggest. And the U.S. has, they argue, been polluting a lot more for a lot longer than China. Therefore, they say the U.S. should pick up the bulk of the tab.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard, live from Copenhagen. Thank you, Stephen.
Okay, Bill.
And be sure to tune in later today to Marketplace with Kai Rizdahl for more of our coverage of the UN Summit on Climate Change in Denmark. Speaking of China's carbon footprint, that country's industrial engine continues to crank. Today, the Chinese government released figures that suggest a factory working at full tilt. From Shanghai, Marketplace's Scott Tong asks, is this a sign the global economy is coming back?
Chinese factories put out 19% more stuff in November than they did last November. Stuff like steel, coal, and cars. And to keep the lights on at all those plants, power generation surged the most in 5 years. Also up, Chinese imports, things like iron ore from Australia and oil from the Middle East. But for all the activity, inflation is so far muted. If you cut out food, Chinese consumer prices continue to decline. Early on in this recovery, the Chinese government stimulus played an active role. But last month, state investment in infrastructure slowed, as did government lending. The private sector seems to be recovering a bit independent of the government, even the export sector. Demand from the U.S. and Europe remains down, but Chinese exports to Southeast Asia gained by 20%. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And that news of China's factory boom is echoing through the stock markets. Hong Kong up 1%, Japan up 2.5%. A weaker yen also boosted Japanese exporters like Toyota and Sony. European markets are up more than 1% as well this morning. Yesterday, Wall Street lifted too. The S&P 500 rose 0.6%, the NASDAQ up 0.3%, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 66 points and closed at 10,405. This morning, the pay czar, Kenneth Feinberg, will announce more limits on compensation at the six bailed-out companies he oversees. Those are AIG, Chrysler, Chrysler Financial, Citigroup, General Motors, and GMAC. Bank of America left that group this week when it paid back its TARP money. Goldman Sachs has paid back, but yesterday it continued to react to public anger when it canceled cash bonuses for its top executives. And Europe is going even further. Britain and France are slapping a tax on bank bonuses, and Germany's chancellor says that's an attractive idea.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Bank of America. 1 year into a 10-year, $1.5 trillion investment in low to moderate income communities. And is distributed by American Public Media. For information about underwriting this or other APM programs such as Marketplace Money, visit AmericanPublicMedia.org.
This morning, the government will report on retail sales for November.
What an interesting holiday retail season it has been. Stores have really trained us to expect big discounts. But Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports that is a dangerous strategy.
More than in years past, the volume of retail promotions is overwhelming Barry Boone. He owns CurrentCodes.com, a website that tracks coupons and discounts at thousands of stores.
My staff is complaining, you know, because this stuff is just coming out so quickly.
But consumers can't get enough.
People are spending a lot more time comparing stores and looking to see who has the better coupons and who has the bigger sales.
So far this season, the best deal Boone has seen is Half Price. But many shoppers are holding out for discounts of 60 and 70%, says Britt Beamer. He's founder of America's Research Group, a marketing firm which recently surveyed 1,000 consumers.
Retailers don't give them those discounts. They will not likely see those customers in their stores.
At least not until the next big wave of promotions, the day after Christmas. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
And finally, in case you missed any of the business news this week, here it is in a 60-second poem. After more than a year of puzzling slowness, the rich yet subsidized company known as Goldman Sachs is shedding the onus that came with their bailout by dropping their bonus. The economy's better, I wouldn't say hearty. My company canceled its holiday party. AOL stepped out on the town. They issued some stock, and it sadly went down. A ratings agency downgraded Greece. Public option, rest in peace. EPA declared CO2 spooky, and Volkswagen's buying a stake in Suzuki. TARP started out as a bailout of banks, but before Citigroup and the rest could say thanks, we were rescuing AIG, Chrysler, GM, and this week we learned it might not be just them, because Geithner's extending the TARP to the fall, so we could bail out others. And that's not all. The money might go to employment and lending. Well, unlike the TARP, I do have an ending. My minute's expiring imminently, so I'll see you at marketplace.org. This is Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.